You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Shomer.
Hello, Dr. Shomer. Are you well?
Good day. Interesting discussion I was allowed to listen to.
Yeah, life in the Republic of Gupta.
Yo. We're living through interesting times. Nobody can doubt that. South Africa provides a rich discussion forum.
Absolutely, we do. The news cycle has never been busier. It's crazy. You blink and you've already missed the next angle on a story.
Yes.
Dr. Shomer, we are getting into something that I certainly find fascinating. I'm sure listeners will also, which is envy. What is envy?
What is envy? Envy is a feeling of discontent inside of you. Envy is a feeling of resentment. And it's aroused by the contemplation, your thoughts, of another's possessions, qualities, achievements. And there is a strong wish attached to envy that whatever they've got, you want to have for yourself. So if I can shortcut this, envy is the pain inside of you caused by the desire for the advantages of others.
Given that definition, it's not surprising that there's a lot of envy going around in a country where you have such deep inequality and differential opportunities for excellence and achieving the things that you secretly desire. So there's lots of opportunity for envy and not enough opportunity for people to fulfill their own dreams.
Absolutely true. We are social creatures. We constantly look upwards, downwards. We compare ourselves. Social comparisons is part of our building. And if you look at theories like Tomkins' affect theory, it's part and parcel built into our emotional richness.
Mm.
So not to feel envy, and we've got to maybe at some stage distinguish it from jealousy, envy is possibly very positive. It propels you to want. It propels you to get motivated. It propels you to maybe get out of your chair, off your bum, and do something. But it can also be armchair stuff, and that's the bad stuff. So when envy does not motivate you, when envy is just that feeling of, oh, they have, and then it generates entitlement, we are in a problem situation. Can I quickly compare it to, because many people always ask, envy, jealousy. Well,
what is the difference?
Define jealousy. Jealousy can come from feelings of low self-esteem and lack of confidence when there is a closeful watchfulness of your partner and you feel that there is a rival who is trying to nibble on things that you think should be your own. So that's jealousy. We're talking about envy. We're talking about possessions. We're talking about qualities. We're talking about achievements. We're talking about a country like Eusebius just said, thank you very much, large inequalities, large offered opportunity to say, I want that. And what do we do about it?
That's interesting. I think many of us do use them synonymously, or we get the definitions the other way around. I think I've always misused them in exactly the opposite ways that you are defining them. Can we reflect a little bit, Dr. Shomer, on when envy can really be destructive? When you are envious of other people, for example, I would imagine one of the very unhealthy and unproductive responses to your feeling of envy is to give up, or worse, to lash out at other people, or, you know, wait for your next bout of schadenfreude when they have a low moment.
Yes, very much. You've mentioned basically the whole range. Envy, when we compare and we think somebody's got something which they don't deserve, problematic. But if they've worked for it, and it's not about with two T's, it's with one. It's really when they worked for it, they've got investment in it, meaning effort and initiative and labor. They've worked for it, then envy is highly misplaced. That envy, nevertheless, can be, if they can do it, if I invest similar initiative and effort, I can get there. Now, that means we have a level playing field at the start, without the discrepancies we have in this country where some people have opportunity and some people have not. And that is really the justified revolt of people saying, I would like to have the same opportunities to climb. then envy can be propelling us into motivation. Envy, where you say, no, I don't have to do anything, I just want. They've got, I want. And you're not going to make an effort, and you're not going to invest in it, and you're not going to learn new skills, and you're not going to make any attempt at engaging with it. Mm. I just want it to drop in my lap. Mm. That's like a lotto win. Now, most of us understand that the chances of a lotto win are extremely, extremely remote. But you do that with whatever people have, and, well, I've learned by violence or by protest or by whatever, I just take it from them. Mm. That's called theft.
Mm, absolutely.
We don't want that. And emotionally, there's also that kind of a moment where envy, when it is linked to non-action, becomes negative.
Absolutely. 011-883-0702. Do you have a question about envy for Dr. Shoma? Give us a call. And in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Also, share with us, have you recognized in yourself a propensity to display and feel envy? And perhaps you're not very proud of it, but let's share these stories. How did you deal with it? And if you are fortunate or unfortunate, as the case might be, to be the object of other people's envy, how do you deal with that as well? It's a question I'm going to put to Shoma in a second. But let's first go to Crawford, Dr. Shoma. We've got on the line Chris. Chris, welcome to the show.
Morning, Chris.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Shoma. Hi, Cedars. Thanks again for the fantastic show. I used to get teased a lot because I have really big ears, and I was told that I should get an arthroplasty and get my ears tied back.
Yeah.
And you find in America, I didn't do it, you find in America a lot of people want to look like Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt. They're very, very envious. Now, I was just wondering, you know, I didn't get my ears tied back, and I'm glad I didn't, but do you think you know, people get nose jobs. Do you think plastic surgery is something healthy or unhealthy? I would appreciate your opinion.
Chris. Thank you, Chris. What a lovely call, Dr. Shoma.
Isn't it? I mean, this is really taking us outside the realm. I love it, Chris. Thank you. Big ears, big nose. Most people, most women would like to have a certain figure. Some people think it has to be big breasts and long, slim legs and a wonderful little waist. Some men think it's got to be muscles or a certain kind of a build. There's this current ad going, who needs a six-pack when you've got the nose? If you've got a certain kind of feature that stands out, it makes you or me unusual, it could be something that makes you special. If you concentrate on the special instead of deviant, you are on the right track. Plastic surgery for some people that never get happy about their God-given design, well, God gave us brain and hands and surgeons.
Hmm.
So if you need to do it, I'm not against it. I always ask people, let's discuss beforehand what consequences follow the surgery. So for instance, a recent young woman that I was allowed to work with, she wanted much bigger breasts in the modeling arena. She thought the others are getting the assignments and the contracts because they have bigger breasts. And she was very sporty. And, of course, when you have bigger breasts, some of the sports become not that comfortable or even impossible to enact and be in. And when she analyzed her life and did the pros and cons and what it meant for her lifestyle and future, she said, hey, I can actually learn to be happy with the body I've got.
Mm.
So it's not a yes or no, please, Chris. It's a matter of, can you live with it? And does the surgery give you an opportunity to feel that you are normal?
Absolutely. Ntabi Singh, good morning.
Hi, Philip. I would like to know, to ask the doctor, what a mother can do to reduce incidences of envy and jealousness within siblings. I've experienced
sibling rivalry.
Great question.
Rivalry. Oh, we might have to have a show on this on its own.
I think so.
Sibling rivalry comes when all of a sudden a new sibling comes in 2 years later, a year later, 3 years later, 5 years later, and the sibling that is now the new, fresh, beautiful addition to the family gets so much attention that your position has diminished visibly, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So what a mother can do right from the start when a new sibling arrives, make sure that the elder, the one that might feel the rivalry, feels involved in the arrival of the new one. So tasks are given, involvement. And isn't wonderful there's somebody coming who would play with you. So the emphasis is away from this child now gets everything. You are still special, my darling child. You are still here, and I involve you in the new arrival. That's the critical part.
Mm. Muzuki, see, good morning. Thank you for your patience.
Yes, yes. Morning,
morning.
Look, I've got two younger brothers that are way taller than me. In the family, I'm the shortest in the guy, so I always envy my brothers to an extent that it goes to a bit being jealous. I'm the short one. Both of them are taller than I am. I even went on Google Day when I was still younger. I'm 29 now. Used to go and say, okay, how do I get taller? How do I get taller? And I came to live with it. I'm 29 now, so I've accepted that I'm short and I'm not going anywhere. I'm not like this.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And you've stopped listening, Muzuki Z, to I wish I was a little bit taller.
I know that one.
Are we all going to sing now?
I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yes, we can do that. Many, many siblings compare themselves to the elder ones, the ones that are going ahead. They're, of course, natural, 2 years ahead taller. Particularly, the difference comes harsh in teenage years. All of a sudden, they have muscles and they've got hair somewhere and their balls drop, excuse the language, and everything happens to them that another brother would want, and they're lagging behind. You are now 29. You've come to terms with it. My brother was the sport kid in the family, 2.5 years ahead, till I caught up, end of teenage years, 20s, and he said, my jolly, you are now just as fast, just as strong, just as fantastic as I have always been, and it's good to see. You might overtake me. When that moment comes, and you know you're there, and here, the short one, there are sports activities that are much better and easier for a short one compared to the tall one. I'm involved in one at the moment. You see, because you know it, I'm fascinated by surfing big waves, being in the ocean, being in the water, and some of these situations cannot be done by big, heavy people.
Absolutely.
Whereas the smaller is much better at it.
Absolutely.
And the activities that are better at for the tall ones.
Mm.
Basketball. I mean, really, I need two people of me to lift me to the basket, whereas the tall one can do it.
Mm.
So go to what you can do and celebrate the uniqueness of you rather than the difference.
Dr. Sharma, brilliant as always. Thank you so much.
Dear Sheer, pleasure. Till next week. Bye-bye.